We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez, joined by Jamie Bluma in studio. What's up, Bluma? How are you?
I'm good. Back to reality. Well, missed you last week. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
It's all right.
It's all right.
You needed a break. You needed to leave so the Royals could get hot.
There you go. I guess the less I pay attention, the better they play.
So you're always super positive about these Kansas City Royals. You played for them, after all.
Sure.
And so in the monologue, when we talked about this in the first segment, I was trying to not be negative, because I just it's hard not to be negative. But still, when the Royals are buried in the AL Central behind the Detroit Tigers, still that's not how things are supposed to go. But it's man, they've won six in a row, and Jorge Soler is hitting home runs. We're seeing good pitching performances, so that's the positive thing. That's a good thing, but it's frustrating. And Nate and Jake goes, in what regard?
I don't want there to be a but right there. Who would have thought, after as bad as we've played the last couple months, that we could even string together a six-game winning streak with starting pitching in shambles? We were going to have to rely on some of our young guys to come up here from AAA with Duffy going down, and I didn't see it coming. I don't want there to be a butt on that. I mean, that makes me even
But more it's happening right before the trade deadline, and it could alter their decisions. I think there's a correlation there. When all the pressure's off of you and you're out of it and the season's over, then all of a sudden Soler's hitting the ball and they're playing well. That sucks. I mean,
better than we may be able to flip Soler for something than nothing.
So do you think there's enough time? Has he done enough to make himself a commodity again that's attractive?
I don't know how big of a commodity, but I think we have an opportunity to get some. We can get something for him, sure.
So then the next question is, will they?
I like what Jake said earlier about maybe absorbing some money. Maybe that's something that we clearly have never done that in the past, where we just eat some money.
The Pirates just did it. The Pirates paid $1.4 million along with Adam Frazier to get the prospect they wanted from the Padres.
I'm not going to sit here and let Jake take credit for my idea on this one.
Jake thought of it and you said it.
Yeah, I implanted it in you.
It's like,
I don't think I need
to. I feel like I was just in that,
either,
I'm just that saying, commercial. Where you're like, hey, Jake had a great idea. You know what?
Always.
But see, this is what I'm afraid of.
It's mine.
I'm afraid they're going
listen,
on this.
Listen, I'm still reeling for the Aaron Rodgers thing over here.
That was actually my idea.
It was actually the Pirates' idea, because they actually did it. And so let's see if we're going to do it.
The first one. We've never done it, so maybe that means we'll do it.
Right.
A different way of doing business.
The Pirates don't do stuff like that.
Pirates don't do anything.
You see, okay, yeah, we're going to trade you Frazier. We'll give you the $1.4 million. Now give us the short side.
Hey, we'll give you glass now, and we'll give. I'm just kidding. That's what the Pirates do.
Well, sure, they'll give you glass now and Austin Meadows for Chris Archer. It's awesome. But my fear is they go on this winning streak. They get a false sense of hope that, oh, we really are close to contending next year. Let's keep everyone together. And then as soon as the All-Star breaks over, they go back to what they were. And then they've missed their opportunity. And like he said, they're stuck in neutral in the cycle where they think they're this close, but they're actually not this close. They're this close. And what they should do is really, really consider and maybe even pull the trigger trading Whit Merrifield, trading Danny Duffy, trading guys who you can get important pieces to help you be ready when it actually is time for them to contend in, I don't know, 2023 or whatever.
I think we're probably a little bit further from contending than we really are, just based on you get all excited when you have a six-game winning streak. But I think Soler's done enough that we can flip him and get someone. I think we're going to have to give up a little cash to do it.
But if you're a contending team and you're watching Soler go through this hot stretch,
right,
because I agree with you. Like, hey, there's enough teams that are desperate for power and desperate for offense. You know what? He led the league in home runs in 2019. He's a free agent at the end of this year. let's take a flyer.
If you can get Solaire and he's doing more than somebody is for you, then why not go get him? You got a DH that's not doing jack crap.
Jack squats.
Jack crap.
So I think Duffy, I don't think it's going to happen. He's hurt.
The Giants and Dodgers are both interested, even though he's hurt.
When is he scheduled to make a? Can you trade him while he's hurt?
Sure. Nurse him back to health, and then maybe you have a weapon out of the bullpen or a fifth starter or whatever down the stretch, and maybe even to the postseason.
Rental player, obviously, because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
I could see that with the Dodgers or the Giants, and I like the fact that
especially the Dodgers. I don't think they're getting Bauer back.
No.
So, I mean, they're going to need a guy. I mean, they've got a deep system, too. I mean, they've still got arms down the minor leagues with May and some of those guys that haven't been up.
And the Giants are absolute witches with what they do with other, like, what would they say? One man's trash is another man. What is that? What the hell is this?
One man's trash is another man's treasure?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's like look at Kevin Gausman and what he was before he got there, what he is now. Not to say Duffy would
lightning
be that.
Lightning in a bottle.
But Duffy would go there and he would be lights out. I almost promise you that.
He'll be good. He'll be better than what they've got, you know, 4 or 5 in their rotation. I don't see us trading Witt. I mean, moving forward, probably that's the smart thing to do.
The Mariners want him.
But I don't think we'll do it. I think he's got too many hooks in this organization and everything that he's done, and he's the face of this franchise with Salvi, and I don't think that'll happen.
Do you think they just won't trade him, or the offer won't be good enough? So the question is, if there was a good offer from the Mariners,
it better be past good. I mean, it's going to be just ridiculous if they pull the trigger. That's the only way it'll happen, I think, in Dayton's mind, is if he gets probably more than he's thinking in his head. Coming back to us.
But there's a chance that could happen. I mean, the Mariners are desperate to make the playoffs.
100%. We've proven that on this show, right?
They tried to get Adam Frazier. They didn't get him. And so now they're chasing the A's. And you maybe get the right desperate team at the right time that just failed in trying to get a guy that was similar. And maybe they'll give you more than they should.
Is there a guy in Seattle's system that we really covet?
There's a lot of guys in Seattle's system that they should covet. But it just depends on what they'll give up.
Right.
It's hard. It's just, you know, yes, there's a package.
Definitely a possibility. Sure. I don't see it happening with Merrifield.
Yeah, happening.
Solaire and Duffy, I think it'll happen. Because I think you said it earlier, too, that, you know, we trade Duffy and do we sign him back next year? I see that kind of thing happening.
Sure. That's a strong possibility.
Solaire, I don't see that kind of thing happening. I mean, I'm just glad that they've continued to play hard. We've never questioned that thing. I think we've just been outmatched on the field. Most teams that we play just line up better than we do, X's and O's. And we find a way against Milwaukee, who had been playing very well, to beat them in a short series, and then sweep Detroit, which we hadn't played good against them, and then win the first one against the White Sox at home, then a big beat is 10 in a row. So,
what about Mike Minor's last few starts? Would you want him if you were a contender?
He's a guy you got to think about too. I mean, he's going to be better than some people's 5 or 6. I mean, it's going to come down, and it does every single year, to 1 or 2 wins or losses at the end to get into the wild card. So if Minor has a better opportunity to give you a win or a couple wins down the stretch, then you got to consider him. From a Royals standpoint and watching him pitch, man, I want to get him out of there after 5 because it seems like after 5 innings he looked like the best pitcher in the world, and then he'll run into a little bit of trouble in the 6th. But minimized the damage enough yesterday, and the bullpen held. So I think he's a guy people look at. I mean, Santana's a guy as well. That I think people are going to take a look at if he's better than what you guys got.
You know who I'd want if I was a contending team? Scott Barlow. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm on the phone every day. I want Scott Barlow. Last night, he put him in, and he faced the teeth of the lineup in the 8th inning, left him there for the night. They got interesting, but he got a 2-inning save. How many different ways have the Royals used him? And he had a little bump in the road there, but you can use him in so many different ways. Multi-inning guy. He's closed games. He comes in with runners in scoring position. He comes.
The question is, are we listening? Are we listening on Scott Barlow?
Would you listen?
Have to be listening on everyone.
So would you listen on Barlow?
Sure. You have to. If you get blown away by an offer that's going to make you better in maybe a couple different facets, you know, 2 years from now, you have to listen. History has said that we don't part with guys. We love our guys. But Barlow wasn't an original Royal. We got him from the Dodgers, I think.
You can get a lot for a high-end bullpen.
Sure. More so now than ever. Just the way that starters don't go deep anymore. You get lucky if you get a guy go through six. I mean, I think you've got way more of a chance to get stuff out of Barlow than you do Duffy and Soler.
I'll keep banging the drum. The Brewers got Willie Adames for two high.
Did you see Willie Adames' numbers since he's joined the Brewers? Silly.
They gave up two high-end projectable bullpen arms. That's what they gave up for him. And the Brewers acquired him because they needed a defensive-minded shortstop, although he's hit the cover off the ball. But the Rays were able to trade him because they have, like, six high-end shortstop prospects.
Right.
And they just keep churning them through. And so, yeah, I mean, you can get good return on a bullpen arm, but that more than Soler and Duffy, because Soler and Duffy are free agents. That's not making a trade that'll hurt. It might make you a little sad, but they're, you know, and I think it's a high probability or possibility that if they did trade Duffy, he'd come back and sign with the Royals and bury me a Royal. But like Barlow, if they're really thinking about, oh, we're close and we need to finish strong and then next year we think we can compete, then Barlow's got to be a big piece of that. And so that would have to be a decision made by Dayton Moore. You know what? Maybe we're not as close as we think and I can get some good return for Barlow. Because if they're going to contend next year, a guy like Barlow's got to be a big part of that, right? At least the
you would sure think so. They've counted on him this year, and he's not a free agent until 2025. Right.
Take him out of the bullpen, and what do you have? Like, if this year, how bad would the bullpen have been without him and all the things he's done?
Bad.
So you better ask for a lot. But that's a question I have for you. Would because that's a trade that would hurt.
I don't think we'll do that either. You have to listen. I mean, that's my contention: is you have to listen. If you're blown away by an offer, maybe pull the trigger on it. History says we won't do it, but you have to listen.
Dayton said he wanted to be more transactional in the offseason.
I like that word.
So do I. I would like it if the word was utilized, if it came to fruition.
I like all of those words.
Fruition.
Fruition. Transactional.
Yeah.
I got another question for you then. How about this? Salvi's not going anywhere, right?
No.
You agree with that. Okay, so fill in the blank. Salvi will be the Royals' starting catcher, and I don't know how many games. But it's like predominantly, he'll catch the majority of the Royals' games for how many more years?
Two more, after this year.
That's it. I think that like people say, well, he moved him over to first base. Well, if Nick Prado's the real deal,
right,
then that's not going to happen.
Somebody, two more.
Two more years? Yep. Okay. So this has been brought up. This is interesting. MJ Melendez has reestablished himself as a top catching prospect.
Back-to-back player of the week.
I mean, he is. You look up the. Come on, Nate. Be the numbers guy. Look up the numbers.
It is 24th, I think.
Normally, you're running numbers, and you don't want to look up any numbers right now.
I was just looking up Salvi.
Maybe 23rd.
Let's look up MJ Melendez. Would you think about flipping MJ Melendez for, I mean, who knows, for a young player, a prospect of a different position than maybe like an outfielder? There are other things that would be more pressing. If, again, trying to get creative here, I just want them to make trades. I like trades, damn it. What about MJ Melendez?
I think you
or do you hold on to him?
Well, you consider that because maybe he's the backup for Salvi in 2 years. You know, maybe he's the guy, but
I saw Randy tweeting about this the other day.
You have to consider everybody.
He was saying that maybe Melendez. He said that they've got a lot of catching prospects in the organization.
Right.
And so, you know, deciding which one you want to go with, which one you want to trade. If Salvi's not going anywhere for a while, maybe you can get some real value in exchange for him. So,
if it's not Taylor, who's the center fielder on this team next year?
Kyle Isbell.
Yeah, well.
So,
but if you could get a hot shot center field prospect of his equal,
yeah,
I mean, that's when Rennie mentioned that, that's more the definition of being transactional. That's the kind of move that the Rays would make, and that you're still helping yourself, and you're being aggressive and trying to fill a spot that you need. Whereas catching is a position of strength, especially. In the minor leagues.
You always have to pay attention to what the Rays are doing because it works.
For them.
What they're doing. And they just went and got, what's his name?
From Nelson Twins? Cruz.
Nelson Cruz. I know they gave up a little bit, but that's what they do.
Melendez for the season in Northwest Arkansas hitting .290 with a .371 on base and a .620 slug.
Why, you sweet talking son of a gun.
23 bombs.
Yeah, so I thought you said .330. Back to back Texas League Player of the Week.
So, yeah, he's tearing it up. But you're right. I mean, the thing is, though,
I'm just trying to be creative.
You have to not be attached to your own guys.
But you can't say
we're talking about the Royals.
Well,
yeah, the Royals are
attached to their dudes.
Everything we talk about, you have to factor that in, Nathan.
That's my point.
Who's the last prospect that we homegrown guy that we love that we traded before he made it to the big league?
Will Myers.
That was just yes. Look at you guys say it at the same time. Isn't that cute?
Make a wish.
Oh my God.
I wish for good health for everyone.
You don't like our pinky, whatever that was?
That was awkward.
We say something at the same time because that started with my mom. Whatever. Yeah.
Right.
I wished for your good health. I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
I need it.
Me too.
Yeah, Will Myers. That's so doesn't happen very often. We get attached to our guys. That's mean.
Well, no, I mean Sean Manaea. That was a Right.
Yep.
I mean, like at the time when they like Cody Reed, they loved him as a prospect. He didn't pan out, but doesn't mean at the time. But you know, they made some moves that hurt.
Right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Those moves were made to win immediately. Right? Like we're this hurts, but we're doing this so we can win right now. You know, they traded Will Myers because they felt like they needed somebody like James Shields to come this team.
We don't need to win right now. We're not going to win right now.
You're talking more about like a trade. If you trade a Melendez, aren't you trading him for another prospect? Possibly?
Well, like there's a difference. Like the Cueto thing was like Cueto and Zobrist, those were the final pieces to what they thought were going to be a championship.
Right. Yeah.
Trading Will Myers was ahead of that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people thought it was crazy because they're like, well, you're not close to winning. What are you doing? Your team didn't win last year. And they decided to go.
So you've got to start with those, though. I mean, the Greinke trade, those trades to start.
So, but I was thinking about the Greinke trade. You know, that's the best trade that Dayton Moore ever made.
Oh, no doubt.
And he's made some really good ones. Like when it comes to
being Moore. Well, it seemed like there for a little while, everything Dayton did worked. You know, and that's just not how it always works.
Yeah, there were a lot of trades involved, and they worked out really well. But it's funny how things work because remember, that wasn't the trade they tried to make with Greinke. They tried to trade him to the Washington Nationals, and Greinke vetoed the trade.
So what was that trade?
Who was the third baseman?
Zimmerman
and a bullpen guy. I remember looking back at the trade a few years later where it was like, they lucked out.
Storen was the closer.
Yeah. I think that's it's been so many years now. But I remember at the time looking back at it a couple years later going, well, boy, the Royals, Zach Greinke unwittingly did the Royals a huge favor by vetoing that trade because they got so much more. Yeah,
right.
I was pretty sure Drew Storen was the next great closer.
Stanford guy.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't.
Volatile. Fell apart, man.
In the postseason, and he never got over that?
Never.
Oh, here we go.
Volatile.
Oh, no, I don't. I was going to say Ryan Zimmerman. Now you're making me mad. I don't see he wasn't in there. Okay. The initial trade proposal by the Nationals reportedly had Jordan Zimmerman, the starting pitcher.
Yeah, good.
Infielder Danny Espinosa and Drew Storen. Zimmerman would have been the headliner.
Thank you, Zach Greinke, for vetoing that one.
Espinosa and then Storen. That would have been a disaster. And that would not have helped them head in the right direction.
No.
So, right. Thank you, Zach Greinke.
Speaking of the Nationals, Alcides Escobar back with the Nationals.
He's back been playing up. Well.
Yeah, he has been playing well.
He Who likes to play.
It? Who'd have thunk it?
Nobody.
Oh, you mentioned who's going to be center field next year for the Royals. Maybe Mondesi should.
Oh, here we go. Now, why are you laughing?
Because is he still hurt?
Now, you know that he is, Bluma. Like, what kind is he still? Yes. Yeah, he's on the IL.
I love to look at the injury report and look at projectable when they're back. And
why couldn't you have been here for that?
Sorry.
Out of nowhere.
He's picking me up some bone broth.
Because I asked him, I said, who's going to be?
Coffee.
I said, who's going to be?
You want coffee or no coffee?
Who's going to be? No, but you wanted this comment. I could tell you this.
What?
I said, who's going to be the shortstop or the center fielder for the Royals next year? And then about 5 minutes later, Nate says, Modesty could be the center fielder next year. And so then Bluma, like it's a real question, says,
is he still hurt?
Oh, is he still hurt? And that just brought brought the show to a halt. So I can tell you, he would love to answer that question.
Are you making
for you.
Jokes? You making funny?
It was a joke. A little sarcasm in there, maybe.
Hmm. Is he still hurt?
I know it's a sore spot.
What's his name?
I know.
Who
Poke
are we talking
the
about?
Bear.
It's no longer funny to him for some reason. I think it's
I'm striking his name from my vocabulary.
Oh, Nikes.
Wow.
Well, no, seriously. Like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Wait, how about Alcides Escobar hitting hitting 288 with a 760 OPS and 80 at bats? That's not nothing.
I've always been an Esky guy.
That's not nothing. Wait, hold on.
They traded Esky.
Wait a minute. I don't want to do this, do I? Yeah, I do.
Don't look.
Sure I do.
Don't do it.
I'm doing it right now in real time. Talk amongst
yourselves.
How many regulars have a worse OPS than Alcides Escobar? Work that out for us.
Wow.
What? What do you mean? What's wow? It's a question.
Wow.
That's all I want to know. What's wrong with that? What would you guess? What would you say, Bluma?
How many regulars have a worse OPS than...
How many Royals regulars?
How many Royals regulars, yeah.
Oh. Are you counting Modesty there? Because his OPS is like...
I'm not counting it. I'm not counting
regulars.
It. I'm not counting
regulars.
Well,
he
smart
would be
ass,
if he
no.
was healthy.
Regular. I would say three.
Nate, would be a lot of things.
Is Mondesi a regular, Nate?
I mean, if he's healthy, he's in
no,
the
but
lineup.
No. Is he a regular?
Is Escobar a regular?
Yeah, he's
now. He is.
Right now, he is. Well, since they got him, they traded for him.
I would
him.
Say all but three.
They did trade for him for cash.
Cold, hard cash.
Just cash.
All but three.
I said three, right?
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm on Blue's page.
All but three.
Yeah, all but three.
Dude. Oh,
different.
Dude, yeah. Your boy is, let me show sick. You. Look at this game log. Your boy is playing every day. Every day.
Escobar?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? He
Why
always
they
has.
Got him.
Every day Esky.
That's what he does.
So how many, better than 760? All I don't even know three. Why. What's the purpose of even doing this? I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I'm really...
Carlos Santana is seven
Does
ahead
he
of him.
One.
Well, here, Salvi, Witt. I'm going to say there's four guys.
Nicky Lopez.
Close. That's got to be pretty close. Hey, Nicky Lopez has had a decent year.
I got absolutely
roasted in April for saying
he
was going to be in the two hole. Okay. He tweeted something or tweaked something.
Tweaked.
Tweaker.
Oh.
I'm looking. Who do you have? All I have is Salvi and Carlos Santana. Who else is it?
Witt.
No.
What? No. Negative. Ghost Rider.
Nope. Wait, what did you say that the OPS is? 7 what?
760.
60.
Oh, yeah. No, what's below that?
Mm.
Wow.
Why did I bring this up?
Yeah,
I feel
you're a
jerk. So stupid. His on-base percentage is .360 right now.
Yeah, well, that's not going to stay.
Esky! I don't care what it's going to stay at. It's what it is. Hey, we told you about this. Quit looking at the past. Quit looking at the future. Live for... You're in the day. You're in the present.
People can change, by the way.
All I'm trying to do is...
Reinvent themselves.
Will you just give him a little... For hitting .288... And with a .360 on base in 91 plate appearances.
He had to reinvent himself.
We never thought we'd see him back in the major league level.
No way.
If I could change, and you could change.
Right, we all could change.
Did that make you happy for Esky, though?
Of course. I love Esky.
Makes me wish we didn't get rid of him.
Well, got some cash.
He plays
now
every
send
day.
It with Solaire for a better prospect. Done. And Esky can help us again.
There honestly, I'm not sad that they let him go because I'm not having a great time watching Royals heroes from the 14-15 team suck for this
I'm
team.
I'm not
now.
Either, but I'm just saying he's doing well.
I know. It's good. I'm glad he
That's
is.
That's all.
And I'll root for him. But I
who's
just
leading
don't...
our team in saves right now?
Is Holly? I mean, but
I said that, did I not?
What? But
what show was that? April. I think I said that.
You predicted it back in the beginning of the year.
And then I was like, "That's 2 weeks later." Thought that was a terrible idea.
How many saves he got?
Five. What?
Seven?
Seven.
Seven saves.
Well, he has seven. Barlow has six. Stallmott has five.
I picked
and
Stallmott.
Down the stretch they come.
Man, we got race on our hands. Oh, come on, Stallmott.
I was holding my collective breath when Wade came in after Holly the other night. Mm. Like, oh, dear.
Right.
I just don't
keep throwing pitches in the dirt, get them to chase.
I see, and I don't enjoy that. I don't feeling that way about Holland or Davis. I'd rather just remember them being awesome.
Sure.
You know? And that's. So, by the way, the Royals going to trade for Haas?
Stop it.
Start that.
Stop it.
We said it at the same time.
Come in here.
Pinky swear deal.
Come in here.
I don't think
Can
they are
Can we talk a little bit about a couple of the new arms, please?
Who you want to talk about?
Well, obviously we're going to talk about Lynch.
Sure, we'll get to Lynch.
But how about Tapia? Did you see his stuff the other night? No, apparently not.
No.
You like him?
I like his stuff. Somebody obviously gave up on him, but lightning in that arm with some.
Do you
movement.
Remember how they got him?
I have no idea.
They acquired him from Seattle for cash considerations.
There you go,
Domingo Tapia.
We used the cash that we got from Alcides
Escobar. There we go.
There you go.
Throw money around, making things happen. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Jamie Bhouma, tell us what you thought of the terrific performance from Daniel Lynch's last start.
Awesome. Like, you can't, compared to what happened to him his first three outings before, nobody could have predicted. Eight shutout and command of everything. Fun to watch. I mean, that's why you have faith in guys with stuff. And if they can, the bright lights don't get to them and they can take a deep breath and be able to command their stuff, those are the kind of things that can happen. And we all knew he had great stuff. I think before he was just kind of trying to, I don't know if he was trying to throw 115 miles an hour or whatever he was. You know, it's hard to take a deep breath and stay within yourself and all those terms you like to use, blanket terms. But sounds like he went down and worked on the things that he worked on, whether that was keeping himself from tipping pitches. They probably looked at video to just staying within yourself and trusting the stuff that you have and getting ahead of guys. I mean, I'll say it. Boddicker said it. We'll all say it. Best pitch in baseball, strike one. If you can get ahead, it doesn't even really matter what it is with, whether it's that slider, whether it's his fastball, whether it's changeup. His fastball plays up. His changeup's that good. He still throws 95 to 98, so you don't have to try to throw 99 when you have that good of a changeup and that good of a slider. So just went out and commanded it in the truest sense of the word, and that's what you want to see out of a guy like that. I'm hoping that when we get a chance to see Coar again, similar. I mean, similar stuff from the right side to be able to go out and do that and command three pitches. Sky's the limit.
And he's found his groove down at AAA. Sure. Coar's looked good, so.
Well, you know what? He looked good before he came up here before, so it's a matter of being able to do it here when the lights are the brightest. And Lynch was able to do it this time, and you just hope that he can go out and compete every single time out.
And I hope they just keep running him out there regardless of the.
Well, I don't think we have any other, there's no, who else are we going to go out there and run out? I mean, I said that 3 weeks ago, like, we don't really have anybody to turn to but to our young guys. It's not like we have a stable of, 4A guys, veteran guys down in Omaha that we can just plug into the rotation and hope they eat innings. I mean, that's kind of a guy that we had in Irvin Santana, if that's something that we needed, or a Junis, but Junis hasn't thrown the ball very well down there. So it's
like Boddicker once, he's an opener.
Yeah, that's his idea. Right.
That's so he keeps trying to push on everybody, but, you know. Yep.
That's not true.
Yep. Yeah, but we could at least make people think it's true until he gets here and yells at me tomorrow.
Well, it's all right. Hey, I'd like to thank him for coming out to our event a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
The Accidental Moguls. Good to see him and his
wife. I'm sorry.
I'm glad to see he was there. Glad to see Jake was there. Yep. Glad to see I was there. Tremendous support from key personnel here at Union Broadcasting.
Hey, I still
hope you remember. I hope you write down who was there.
I know exactly who was there.
You don't
there.
Need to write. You know who was there.
Yeah, I sat the tables. And thank you to Iron Horse and Jeff Dietrich, and thank you to Lee Gibson. And I thought you guys were going to maybe spar a little bit.
Went, we danced and he hugged.
We did
That's
hug.
That's what I what did I text you when you asked me if I was going to spar? What did I say?
I said I'm a lover, not a fighter.
That's right. I used to be a fighter, no more. Now I'm a lover.
But it was good to see you guys because you got a history from quite a while back.
He's a hell of a fighter.
He's a hell of a dude.
Yeah.
Just everything that he's doing and,
I like
and
Lee
all
Gibson.
That he's got going on with Relentless Pursuit. Just been a thrill for me to team up with another great nonprofit here in town that does great things.
And yeah, for me,
I want to get involved with him.
With yeah. But see, like the great thing, like for example, like having a conversation with Lee Gibson, it always I feel your attention is sharper and more focused when you know the guy that you're talking to could easily choke you out at any moment. Because you know, then you're
liable
like, okay,
to punch your mouth loose,
right? I like with Nate, you know, I don't. Eh.
Yeah, you're not
more than just choke you
wandering.
Out. I mean, you, right. there's a lot of holes in the woods.
Yeah, I'd tap out quick.
Right.
So
yeah. So thank you to the entire staff at Iron Horse. Awesome. I couldn't have been more happy how that went that night. So, and I would say the majority of the people that were there hadn't gotten to hear Accidental Moguls yet, and they're like, Bluma, man. I said, if you know me well enough from Bloomapalooza and all the things that I do in town, when I'm going to put on an event, I'm not going to have anything but fantastic
music.
You're
not going to mess around?
No. No. So
your messing around days are over. You're locked in now, aren't you?
Yes. So thank you again for all of you guys for being there.
Well, thank you for
And how
for
was
doing
the Gold
thing,
Cup? That was that.
Right.
How do you feel like that went?
Well, they called me back, and they've got me coming out to do some more games. So
there you go.
You know, you go on
have
a first
Have you cleared
date,
that schedule yet with all the necessary people? I'm still waiting
nah,
on that.
I haven't
that.
Run
seems
that up
like
the flagpole, but I don't think I should have to miss any work.
Well, but it seems like at some point you need to let, you know, your friends know here.
Well,
you going to miss any work? Are you missing work?
I should not
Let's
have
this
to miss
out right
any
now.
Work. I haven't booked my flight yet, but I shouldn't have to miss any work. I might do the show from California that Monday
take,
morning.
You know, take a couple days.
You want me to take a couple days?
Take a couple days.
I might.
Just, you know,
just like
walk
can
through
sleep
things.
In a little bit.
Also, Chad and Alok were there.
When Chad and Alok were there.
When Alok yes. got up on stage and danced for everyone, boy, that's something you. I mean,
Guy
you'll never get that back. We saw it.
Did that really happen?
Well, yeah,
oh, man.
Well, yeah. Oh, what do you mean? What really happened? I'm just telling you, everyone's saying how, what it
dance.
Was. You got three of your people saying, "Yeah, it was great." Never knew he could dance like that.
Emily was excited for us to go slow dance near you guys.
I like a good slow dance.
Absolutely
right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Emily McNeil,
how'd she do?
So the MR340 was last week.
What's the MR340 for people that have no idea?
So Missouri River 340, a 340-mile kayak race down the Missouri River from downtown Kansas City to St. Charles, Missouri, all the way in St. Louis. Statistically this year, 519 boats signed up for the race. 420 boats started the race. 302 boats finish the race. You have to finish in 85 hours. Her mixed tandem team with Deepwater Daryl Simon.
Deepwater Daryl.
And I met his whole grounds crew, Jacob Simon, his son, Jake Berry, Diane Diebold, Julie Johnston, all of us were on grounds crew. They finished second in their division, ninth overall out of 302 boats, and finished in 44 hours and 4 minutes to set a personal best for both of them. They slept. I was telling Jake earlier, they slept. They got a 30-minute nap at Franklin Island and then a 20-minute nap at Herman. And the other 40-whatever, subtract 50 minutes from 44 hours and 4 minutes, the other time they were paddling. So 50 total minutes of sleep. So pretty pretty amazing. I was telling Jake or anybody else that just to kind of watch everything that goes on in the race is pretty amazing to see all the boats. And congrats to everybody that, one, started the race, and two, finished the race. Thank you to all the volunteers, Scott Mansker that puts the race on, Ryan, Laura Milby, and a ton of people, and Daryl Simon and his crew. Just an amazing race. The winning team, and to give you perspective, finished in 36 hours and 20 minutes. They never got out of their boat and did not sleep. So that was Morgan and Brad Daniels and Dylan McCarty, a three-man team. It was impressive to watch.
So, do they get tested for PEDs?
They do not get tested any PEDs.
So how the hell do you stay up that long?
Well, there's some enhancement can happen. Maybe some Adderall has happened and all that kind of things. But there isn't, monitored drug testing.
We're here. All right, bye.
That there's no prize money at the way, at the end.
All of a sudden, now Jake's thing. Like, I'd like to get on the river.
I'm telling you, I think I would be good at this.
Yeah, I want Jake.
All of a sudden, I don't know why. But all of a sudden, like, hey,
I don't need drugs.
Right. I would love Jake or you guys to just
I can meditate
tag along
on the river.
And meet me somewhere along
That'd
just to kind of see the epic nature of this event.
Do you know why Jake doesn't need drugs? Because he's high on life.
Because I have God.
Hey, Jake, are you going to run big
and
steps
And also
this
some
year?
Weed, but that's I, not...
You know, I'm really disappointed. Right. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Columbus, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, where's that at? I've never heard of that.
Before you get smart, you might feel bad if you get too
litty
with me.
What's that date, Nate, for big steps?
I'm not getting smart, I've never heard of it.
No, like, him.
Oh, that's right around
it's
the corner.
It's where my Douglas family, my grandfather's family is all... They're all buried there, and we're taking my grandfather who passed away... January 2020, and then my grandma who just passed away last March, we're laying them to rest down in Columbus.
How far is that away?
It's pretty close to Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Okay.
It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh. So we're doing that the 14th and 15th. All my aunts and uncles are coming in town. And
you still have family that live there?
So my grandma's sister lives in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. So we're
going to go down there. I guess
will you go see her?
Yes, so we're going to go down there and do dinner on Saturday.
You going to go to Chicken Mary's?
Yeah, we're going to one of the chickens.
Chicken Annie's or Chicken Mary's?
Right, but hopefully they have some fried catfish for me.
So what do you, are you close with your, so what is it?
It's my great aunt.
Great aunt?
Yeah, my great aunt and great uncle Steve. So yeah, they're great.
Oh, Uncle
Steve.
Hey.
Crazy Uncle Steve.
What do they think when you come to town? What are they?
Well, she was the youngest and my mom was the oldest. And so my mom and My aunt Chris, they were really close. I think they were only like 4 or 5 years apart, so they were more like, cousins than aunt and niece. I guess is what she would be.
Nieces.
So yeah. So unfortunately, I wish I could run in that, Nate, but I
can. Red, White, and Bloomin' make a donation.
Oh man, it'd be great. We'd love it.
I'll still make a donation.
Chicago for a golf tournament.
Can I do it virtually? I can maybe put some miles in for big steps that way.
I don't know that we're not doing a virtual race this year. But
I can make my own virtual race.
I
like
a virtual race last year. I was in the middle of trying to shed
that
some LBs.
Me.
I actually did okay on that.
You did
deal.
Well.
Yeah.
You did well.
Then
we're
broke,
doing it back in
then
person.
Then I broke
this
my
year.
Foot.
That's even better, though.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's great to be back in person, but the only problem with that is people. So.
The worst.
Bluma, what about, they are the worst.
They are, right?
I can tell you right now. What about, like I've often said, there's two different kinds of people in the world. Avoid both of them.
Yeah.
Bluma, what about, that's right. What about Brad Keller? As the Royals search for win number 7 in a row, he goes tonight against the White Sox.
I like. He's just been better overall the last 2 months. Just got his mojo back a little bit. Trusting his fastball. I mean, he's got movement on his fastball and getting ahead of guys, and his slider's better. I don't know what was going on with him early in the season and why it went so bad.
Nobody else does either.
Yeah, well. But he's righted the ship. He's looked pretty good. Go out and give us 6 at least. Trust your stuff. I like watching him pitch. I like seeing him go about our business. His business, not our business. So good.
Did you know that Bobby Witt Jr. is raking at AAA?
If you don't know,
I want you to know. Nick Prado is too.
Yep.
So that's the magic question. That's the final question I have for you. Do you let them rake for the rest of the year at Omaha and say, see you in 2022, hot prospects? Or do you do what Jake did in the commercial break and get him a cup of coffee? He made coffee.
Yeah.
So very happy.
Well,
so
September call up.
Do you make them some coffee and get them, have them?
I think you get them up here. I mean, I think you get their feet wet and let them start the process. Absolutely. I mean, they've.
When?
September would be my guess. I don't know if we'll do anything before then, just from a roster standpoint, because you're going to have to find those guys clearly not have to be protected yet because they're young. Is Prado already on the roster?
I got some guys who can go.
Well, sure.
I got a list. I've kept in my back pocket here.
I think you see that happening. They've performed. Now, that was the thing I was worried about. As well as Witt did in spring training, that was a small sample size. And it's not like he hit 700 in spring training. He hit 290. So go down and do what you need to do. And he did a great job in Double A. Now he's doing a good job in Triple A. Earn your way to the big leagues instead of just pushing a guy through which I like. I like that process. If it's before September, awesome, but I can see it happening then.
In case anyone from any other Major League Baseball teams is listening, did you know Jorge Soler is the fifth player in Royals history with the consecutive multi-home run games? He's the second Royal to do so this season, joining Salvador Perez. Also, Jorge Soler had a .183 batting average entering Sunday, but has since had back-to-back multi-home run games. He's the first player in the modern era to have a sub-200 batting average with at least 200 at-bats and then have consecutive multi-home run games.
Since Rob Deere. Or no, ever.
Since ever.
Dave Kingman.
Since ever.
Wow.
And also, we'd like to play this song going to break. If you have Johnny Cueto. I'd just like to mention that yesterday was a beautiful anniversary for us. Yesterday was the anniversary from July 26, 2015, when the Royals acquired Johnny Cueto from the Cincinnati Reds for Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed. Steal. And it led to this song, which will remain in our hearts forever. Bluma, hang out and talk to Lezak, unless you got to go.
I do. No, I got to talk a little bit about home field, too.
That's right. We'll get it. We'll get it when we come back.
Plus
with Lezak.
Be in Wichita, right?
Oh, boy. You're always in Wichita. You're in their hearts on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
El Rey Dominicano, Los Reales es muy fuego. Johnny Cueto, he's our hero. Fiesta! Fiesta! Johnny Cueto.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Calling in live from SEC country is Boomer Sooner Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
That's right. Oklahoma and Texas are going to go to the SEC. It's a really good thing. I don't like it for basketball. I like it for football. I don't like it for basketball. So it's going to be sad. The basketball rivalries are just so significant, and so I'm going to miss that. But it's okay. It's kind of, life goes on, and you move on. And
that's right.
You hopefully continue some of the rivalries. You can, Oklahoma, Missouri are going to play more often.
Oh, good.
I know. That's exciting.
Always works out well.
Yeah, it's going to work out really well. Oh, my God. What a day.
What's wrong?
Jeez.
I just finished talking to Jake. And talking to Jake, he's like,
that constitutes a day.
Wow, that's not exhausting.
Wow,
that's
exhausting to Gary. What a day.
That is uplifting. That is not exhausting.
Is it?
That was exhausting.
Come on.
He was telling me how bad I was going to be. Oh, dear. Anyway, but it didn't affect me. I feel good either way. I feel good. because I know Jake and I are buddies. And
hey,
and
you're in control of your own emotions, buddy. Nobody has any other power over you than yourself.
Exactly.
So don't blame your exhaustion on having a phone conversation with me. Your exhaustion is your own. It's your own to carry, bud.
What's so exhausting about talking to him?
Well, he was like just telling me how bad I'm
moving. Smacked him in the face with truth.
Yeah, how bad I'm going to feel and how bad it's going to be and how hard it's going
to be. That's how you interpret it. That's not what I said.
Okay. Anyway, so I actually offered to
help you move is what I did.
Nate, I got three great dad jokes.
Stop.
Are you ready?
Yep.
These are top of the line.
Okay. Well, I'll be the judge.
You ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Is Blumen still with us?
Yes.
No, he left.
I'm leaving soon.
Okay, here we go. Yesterday, I saw an ad that said, radio for sale, only $1. Volume stuck on full. I thought, I can't turn that down. That's pretty good. Okay, here's an easier one. What do you call a group of killer whales playing instruments?
Orchestra.
There you go, an orchestra. That's good. I know, I got a lot of people saying you're not supposed to get the answers, but you got them. Okay, how about this one, Bluma? Did you hear the one about the giant pickle? It was kind of a big dill.
Man, that is the worst joke I've ever heard.
Can I throw one out there?
Sure. I've heard some worse ones.
What do you do to an elephant with three balls?
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. What?
You walk him and pitch to the giraffe.
There we go.
See?
That's baseball humor.
See?
That's very
good.
Where
you were going
See?
With that.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Get your mind out of the gutter, Gary, and give us this weather.
Thank you very much for saving the day. I appreciate it. The heat's building in. I just blogged about it on KSHB.com. The tropical system coming into the Olympics in Tokyo, predicted by the LRC. I talk about that. And what is relative humidity? What are the dew points? I talk about that and the confusing and flawed heat index. When we tell you it feels like 105, we lie. It's really 115. So why do we tell you 105 heat index? It's really stupid. I sort of talk about that a little bit. I'm the meteorologist that tries to explain that. It's just one of those flawed things. It's going to be hot. 93 today, 97 tomorrow, 98 on Thursday. It's not going to feel like 105. It's just going to be humid, hot and humid. And we have a song for that, hot and humid. So there's your forecast. There's your dad jokes. Thank you, Bluma, for having the punchline. I always need that.
So thank you, Gary,
for adding that in. And here is Bob Hibbleton.
Thanks, Gary. Turns out size matters. Don't buy the wrong size AC unit. Let our expert size your home for the perfect AC system. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913. Or bobhamilton.com.
How can people get a hold of you, Bluma?
Check us out on Homefield KC on Facebook, 913-320-4404. July 29th, this Thursday, and next Monday, August 2nd. Tryouts for our high school teams, 17 and 18-year-olds from 4 to 6, 15 and 16-year-olds from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday and next Monday.
That's Jamie Bluma. We'll be back after this with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Oddly enough to talk Royals on Sports Radio 810 WHB.